Let's go to Wellington, where director of Verb Wellington, the literary festival, joins me now to talk about books. Claire Maybe, hello.
Kia ora, Jesse.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Well, you've got a good little stack for us. Hey, on your recommendation, we had Rebecca K. Riley on the show recently, and we loved her, so thank you.
Oh, excellent. Such a good novel.
Can't wait to read it. Yeah, Greta and Velden. It's one of those ones that's going to have like hundreds of people ahead of me in the library book list, isn't it? I might have to buy it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it gets made into a TV show. Huh. It feels like that kind of a story.
Cool. Hey, what are you going to tell us about first today?
I've been reading so many good books, so I was struggling to pick some, but I've got three here that I think need to be highlighted. And the first is a book of poetry by the one and only Tay Tibble, and it's just been launched last week by Victoria University Press, and it's an unmistakable cover by Zoe Hall, and it's just phenomenal. And the cover actually, I think, conveys the energy and the just... personality in this collection is just one of the most stunning things I've read all year, if I'm honest. I think that Tay's insightfulness is just incredible, and her voice is amazing.
The new generation of rock star poets in New Zealand, eh?
Totally. And the book is very beautiful, and it's kind of structured into parts. So it opens with a poem called Tōhanga, and it closes with a poem called My Ancestors Ride With Me. And then it's kind of written in three parts, and each of those the poems in those three parts kind of have a specific kind of shape to them. And there's so much in this collection, it's almost hard to talk about, but it's incredibly vibrant and energetic and unapologetic, and there are so many details in it. And there's one poem called Hō Mero Mero, which in Māori, I think, is the name of the tomtit, but it also means someone with a sharp eye, you know, who looks really carefully and has an eye for detail, and I feel like that encapsulates this. And I thought I'd just read the first couple of paragraphs from that poem. So it starts off, I used to dream about a two-headed goldfish. I took it for an omen. I smashed a milk bottle open on a boiling road and watched a three-legged dog lick it up. And in the process, I became not myself, but a single shard of glass, and thought finally I had starved myself skinny enough to slip into the splits of the universe. But once I did, I realised that the universe was no place for a young thing to be, and there is always a lot more starving to be had. And that's just the start of that phenomenal poem, and each poem is that powerful. So,
wow, there's a lot going on there, eh?
It's incredible. So I just hugely recommend it to everybody. She's a very clever writer.
Yeah. Māori and Te Reo Pākehā in there as well? Is it a mix?
There's a mix. It's definitely got a really strong sense of tikanga. I feel like I can't speak to it for Tay, because she has such a sense of her own voice and personality, but there is a real sense of someone who is really steeped in their Māori tanga, I guess.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
It's called Rangikura, and we actually talked about the cover recently with somebody, I can't remember who, but it's worth Googling just to look at the cover. It's maybe not how you expect a poetry book to look. Is that fair to say, Claire?
Probably, yeah. I mean, she's just smashing.
More like a graphic novel cover.
I guess. Yeah, it's almost this real personified, cartoonified version of Tay herself, but it reflects the voice inside in an amazing way. It's a treat.
Great. What else?
So I've been reading... people out there might know the name Jenny Higgy. She is the editor-at-large of Frieze magazine, which is a big magazine in the contemporary art world. And she's also the host of a podcast called Bow Down, which I love. Mm. And that podcast is about women in art history. And every episode, Jenny talks to someone from the art world about a female artist who deserves to be bowed down to. And it's such a great podcast. And this book, I guess, is an extension of that idea. It's called The Mirror and the Palette, Rebellion, Revolution and Resilience, 500 Years of Women's Self-Portraits. And it's such a brilliant book. I haven't read the whole thing yet. It's a bit of a dip in and out book, or that's the way I'm approaching it. And it really looks at women's self-portraits for over 500 years. and it delves into what a self-portrait actually is, the sense of like women still needing to be kind of unburied from history, where so many women got written out of art history, and also just the changes that happened over time that enabled women to be free enough to actually be artists, but also for scholars, I guess, to be free enough to acknowledge women in art history. And one of the interesting things is the importance of the actual mirror, which I didn't realise wasn't mass-produced until the 19th century. And that's when there was this explosion of women's self-portraits, because mirrors were actually available and cheap to own. So it's a super fascinating read. I have made so many discoveries already. Our own Rita Angus is in it. It's a really great chapter on Rita and her work, and the, you know, the trials of being a woman artist is really fascinating. And she also starts off in the prologue, there's a really good sentence where she says, she's in competition with history, which has always been dismissive of her power. And this book is kind of almost a war cry in some ways. Like, Jenny Higgy just completely bangs the drum for all of these women who were artists against time and against history and against all the things that were, you know, preventing them from having the same accolades and opportunities as men. But she also reminds you of Christine de Pizan, who, when I was a student, I remember hearing this woman's name a lot, but she was a 14th century writer, and she was one of the first Western women to make money from writing and supporting her whole family. And she did this book called The Book of the City of Ladies, where she imagines this vision of a walled city which only women are allowed to live in. And it's quite an interesting place to start with this book, is this kind of sense of women way back then actually trying to say women are really talented. And I think it's a collection of very talented women.
This book, The Mirror and the Palette, is it a mix of images and text, or is it organised by painting, or is it more of an essay than that?
It's more text than images. There's two sections of coloured plates where you can see particular artists' work. So, and she's a great writer, so it's a good read. And you can, as I said, delve in and out because it's organised in chapters. And it's organised in kind of thematically. So the first section is called Easel, which is about beginnings of self-portraits, and then Smile, and then Allegory, Hallucination, which is really looking at the surrealists. So Leonore Carrington is in this, and she's currently on at Te Papa, if you want to go see her. And then Solitude, Translation, and Naked, so about the kind of exploring the whole body. So it's such a great book. I very recommend it widely.
Love it. And one more for us.
Yeah, so this one is another non-fiction book by a woman called Sarah Krasnostein, and she's an Australian writer, and she became very well known for her book The Trauma Cleaner. And this book is called The Believer, and Encounters with Love, Death and Faith. And this book is a book that I've started to call, in my category of books, Ignore My Family Books, because like, when I can't stop reading, I just have to ignore everybody. And this book is so incredible. To be honest, it's not a book that I don't think I would have picked up, but I'd heard so much about The Trauma Cleaner, which I do have to go back and read, that I was curious. And this book is basically the result of what you can tell is many hours spent interviewing people with particular beliefs. So she talks to people who believe in UFOs. She talks to people who believe that the world was created in 6 days. She talks to a woman who is a death doula, so someone who helps you die. And she talks to a woman who killed her husband. She was being abused terribly, and so was her child. She killed her husband, no remorse, but had to serve 25 years in jail. Oh. And it's sounds bleak, but it's not. It's absolutely beautiful, actually. I've kind of cried my way through it because it's so stunning. But she's an exceptional writer. She's someone who I think employs the Truman Capote method of blending fiction and non-fiction, or she uses the tools of fiction to write non-fiction, and I think that gives it this very compelling style. A little bit like Daniel McLachlan, if people out there have read his book, Tranquility tranquility and ruin, they remind me of each other in the sense of exploring what makes us human and what makes us weird sometimes and like why we have such divergent beliefs. But she's not judgmental at all. She just lays out the humanness of these people and why they believe what they believe and what their life story has been to kind of develop those beliefs. And it's stunning. I just kind of can't get enough.
I guess she's doing her job if she manages to explain to you or make it compelling to think about how you might end up with these beliefs yourself.
Completely. And, you know, you do start wondering, maybe, I don't know, I'm a sceptical person, but...
If this stuff had happened to me, yeah, maybe I'd feel the same way.
Yeah, it's just very beautifully written to me. And she does kind of give you enough of her own personal snippets to feel that the author is there too. Like, there's not a big distance between you as the reader and these people's lives. So it's very deftly done.
Interesting you mentioned Truman Capote. I've got this quote from her, the author, about Truman Capote. She says, "I often think In Cold Blood would be a much better book if I knew what Truman Capote was thinking walking around Kansas." It's an interesting observation, isn't it?
Very much, yeah.
The Believer by Sarah Krasnostein. Forgive the pronunciation, maybe Krasnostein. Before that, The Mirror and the Palette by Jennifer Higgy. And the first one was Rangikura by Tay Tibble. And someone wanted to know who had created that cover art. You did mention their name.
But Zoe Hall.
Great.
Yeah, stunning.
Claire Mabey from Verb Wellington, thanks very much.
Pleasure, thank you.